الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في اخر سورة الحجرات اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الناس انا خلقناكم من ذكر وانثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا ان اكرمكم عند الله اتقاكم ان الله عليم خبير قالت الاعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا اسلمنا ولما يدخل الايمان في قلوبكم وَإِن تُطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَا يَلِتْكُم مِّنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ قل اتعلمون الله بدينكم والله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الارض والله بكل شيء عليم يمنون عليك ان اسلموا قل لا تمنوا علي اسلامكم بل الله يمن عليكم ان هداكم للايمان ان كنتم صادقين ان الله يعلم غيب السماوات والارض والله بصير بما تعملون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم ربنا اجعلنا من عبادك الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله اللهم ربنا اجعلنا من عبادك الصادقين آمين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters of Islam, the third and the last part of Surah Al-Hujurat consists of six ayat. From 13th to 18th. In the previous session last night, we discussed ayah number 13. Today we shall be having a brief review about this ayah and then proceed to ayah 14 and 15, which are the most profound ayat, not only of this Surah Al-Mubarakah, but the whole of the Quran, on one special subject. This ayah number 13, we translated it, Ya Yuhannas, and we noted specially that in this surah, before this ayah, five times Ya Yuhalladina Amanu has occurred. The address was to the Muslims. Ya Yuhalladina Amanu, Ya Yuhalladina Amanu, Ya Yuhalladina Amanu. But here we find Ya Yuhannas. This change of address is not without any reason, without any basis. Ya Yuhannas, inna khalaqnakum. O mankind, we have created you all. Whether you belong to the east or to the west or to the north or to the south, you might be belonging to any race, you might be having any color of your skin, you might be speaking any language. You might be living in any part of the world. All of you we have created. Min zakari wa unsa. And we have created you from one human pair, one male and one female. Hazrat Adam and Hazrat Hawa alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila. And we ourselves have made you, differentiated you into nations and tribes. لِتَعَارَفُوا with the sole purpose that we should be able to recognize each other, identify each other. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Surely, verily, indeed, the most honorable amongst you is he who is most pious, who is the best in deeds, actions, who is the most righteous. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. And verily, Allah is all-knowing and aware of everything. So He knows who is pious and who has only taken upon Himself an outward garment of piety and taqwa and virtue, and who is really pious. We know it. Because we know You through and through. We see You through and through. Now this ayah, as I told you, it has two aspects. Because this surah, Surah Al-Hujarat, it is dealing with the community life, collective life of the Muslim Ummah, at social as well as political level. So actually here also, the first addresses are the Muslims. Especially to the context, the three ayahs preceding this ayah, actually this ayah is throwing more light on those three ayahs. We had the ayah, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. All mu'mins, all believers, they are like brothers. Now this ayah is adding the dimension. There only one thing that was common between the mu'mins that was referred to, and that is Iman. You are all brothers because you are all mu'mins. To add to it, here two more dimensions have been added to emphasize more on the brotherhood of the Muslims. Not only that you are all believers, you are all creators of one Allah. You believe in one Allah. Then you all belong to one human pair. You are the progeny of Adam and Eve, alayhi salatu wassalam. So you should behave as brothers. Number two, in the preceding two ayat we found, don't laugh at each other, don't mock at each other. There should be no derision, no mockery, no scorn, no looking down upon each other, no backbiting, having no bad notions, suspicions. And the root of all these evils is the superiority complex. All these things are based on the superiority complex. We are superior. And the root is cut by this ayah. You are all equal. You are all human beings. All sons of Adam. All created by the same Allah. So there is no one superior, no one inferior. As I told you, according to the Islam, there is no concept of superiority or inferiority among the human beings on the basis of those things which are given to them, which are not acquired by them. Where he was born, what color he had of his skin, which part of the world he was born, of which race he was born, whether he was born a male or a female, he or she, all these things, you know, they are not acquired by any human being. It's not the option, it's not the choice. So all these things, they cannot be made basis of any sense of superiority and inferiority. All human beings by birth are absolutely equal in status. This is actually a very revolutionary idea. But even the enemies of Islam have accepted it. That Islam could do it practically. I quoted the saying of at the Wells, although the sermons of human fraternity and equality and freedom were said before all, we find these sermons abundantly in Jesus Christ. But it must be accepted. It was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who established a society practically, actually, on the basis of these principles. A person belonging to this part of the world, Malcolm X, Al-Malik al-Shahbaz, you know, a very notable person he was, no doubt. And he saw the scene during his Hajj. All races, from all corners of the world, and people having every shade of color, from red to, you may say, the yellow, then browns, then blacks, but there was no distinction whatsoever. It seemed they are all brothers, they are all equal. No dissent, no dispute, nothing of the sort. So this is a practical demonstration. And that demonstration, we actually don't get impressed by it because we are accustomed to it. But you know, a person who sees it for the first time, he cannot see such a scene anywhere in the world. But he sees it there. And then the congregation, you know, salah, prayer being said in congregation, as if a military parade is going on. One command and whole congregation is going down. Another command and the whole congregation is standing up. So this is actually a very impressive scene. So this is the aspect of this ayah which is related to the preceding ayat. In itself, if we focus our eyes on the wordings of this ayah, we get a basis, a criterion of who is honorable, who is respectable. And this is very important. If these values change in Muslim society, and they have changed, practically changed, throughout the world, you will find people who have more wealth, they are respected. People don't see whether that wealth was accumulated through halal means or haram means. But whosoever has wealth is respected. He becomes honorable in the society. This is just contrary to the teaching of Islam. There is a saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man waqqara sahaba bid'atin faqad aana ala hadmi al-Islam." Whosoever respects a person who is committing bid'ah, who is distorting the teachings of Islam, he has actually abetted in the destruction of Islam. "Man waqqara sahaba bid'atin faqad aana ala hadmi al-Islam." There's another saying of the Prophet, "Iza mudiha al-fasiqu ghadib Allah ta'ala wa tazzala al-arsh." When a fasiq person who is not pious, who is not practicing Islam, who is not obeying deen, who is not practicing deen, when he is being praised, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ghadib Allah ta'ala, becomes angry. And he becomes so angry that his arsh, his throne trembles due to the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا مُبِحَ الْفَاسِقُ رَغِبَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَحْتَفْتَ لَهُ الْعَرْشِ. Allah ta'ala becomes angry. And the anger is so much that his arsh trembles. So this should be the criteria in a Muslim society. There should be respect only for those who are pious, who are knowledgeable, who are muttaqi, about whom people know that they practice Islam. And this has happened actually. Harun al-Rashid, the most renowned caliph of the Abbasid dynasty, he was on Hajj along with his wife Zubaydah, very beloved Queen Zubaydah, very renowned. But there Zubaydah, the queen, saw. And people were not paying heed to Harun al-Rashid, although he was king, so to say, and he was this caliph. And there was some imam, I don't remember the name of that imam, a person who was very knowledgeable and who was muttaqi. People knew him, adored him, loved him. Always people were around him. Nobody was paying heed to Harun al-Rashid. The queen said to her husband, "Actually the king is he, not you. He has the kingdom over the hearts of the people. He is reigning over the hearts of the people. Your command or your reign is only covering the body of the people, not their hearts." This should be the criteria. "Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum." The standard that Allah has, we should have it. If we differ from the standard or criteria of Allah, then we are not with Him. So that should be the criterion of respect in the Muslim society. Number three, because here the wordings are used, Ya Ayyuhan Nas. These wordings have given this ayah a very broader context, a very broad connotation. What is that connotation? First of all, what relations can have the Muslims with the non-Muslims, the believers with the non-believers? Because Ya Ayyuhan Nas covers both. Among the people there are the believers, there are the non-believers. Can there be any relationship? Well, two things are common. They don't believe in what you believe. But nevertheless, they are also created by Allah. They are the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, they also belong to the same family of Adam and Eve, progeny of Adam and Eve. So you can have cordial relations. This is a very important point. Because although we find in the Quran that a true mu'min shouldn't love a non-Muslim or a kafir. Love should be heartfelt love. Should be only إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. This mutual love should be only for Allah, for His Messenger, and for those who believe. But to have cordial relations, to have gentleman-type relationship, well, this is not forbidden. Except for those who are at war with you, who are opposing you, who are the enemies of Allah, who are active in resisting the deen of Allah, their case is different. So here let me quote the strongest ayat regarding this subject appear in Surah Al-Mumtahina. Ayah number 8 says, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah doesn't prohibit you from having cordial relations, doing good to them, تَبَرُّوهُمْ, be kind to them. But those of the non-Muslims only, who never fought you, who never went to war against you, who didn't turn out you from your homes, you can't have such relations with Quraysh. They turned you out from your homes. They compelled you to leave Makkah. They invaded so many times, even Medina. But those of them who didn't actively participate against you in war, for them you can be friendly. You can do good to them. And tabarruhum, bil, the same word, laysal birra an tuwallu wujuhakum qibal al-mashriq wal maghrib. You can have that attitude with them. And you can deal with them justly. The next ayah says, innama yanhaakumullahu anil ladheena qataluukum fid din. But verily and surely Allah prohibits you from having this relationship with those who fought against you regarding your deen. وَأَخْرَجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ, and they turned you out of your homes. وَظَاهَرُوا عَلَىٰ إِخْرَاجِكُمْ, and they made a joint front against you. أَنْ تَوَلُّوهُمْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't make friends with them. And whosoever makes friends with them, well, they are the transgressors. So these two ayat are very important. Because, you know, all human beings, whether they are believers or non-believers, have two things in common. They all were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same Allah, not some other creator. They were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they belong to the same family, the progeny of Adam and Eve. And the final thing about this ayah, which is very important in the context of the present time. Everybody knows that due to the advance in technology, this world of ours has shrunk in size. Distances have virtually disappeared. This world is now like one city. No distances. Media so developed. that now this world has become very small. So the need of the time is that people should also feel closer to each other. Their bodies have come very close. The distances in the world have disappeared. So they should be close. But we find the distances in the hearts are the same. Mandigram Pudini. You are different. You are something else, I am something else. The demand of the time is that there should be one world state. That is why, in the early part of this century, the League of Nations was established. But it failed. Why did it fail? It was established because there was some need was felt. Because the world has shrunk in size. So we should come close. We should have something. Some common platform to sit and settle our disputes. But it failed. I recall a very beautiful couplet of Allama Iqbal. He prophesied the death of League of Nations. بیچاری کئی روز سے دم توڑ رہی ہے, ڈر ہے خبر بدن میرے منہ سے نکل جائے. تقدیر تو مبرم نظر آتی ہے وہ, لیکن پیرانے کلیسا کی دعا ہے کہ یہ ٹل جائے. بٹ اٹ کڈنٹ بی پوسٹ پونڈ, اٹ ایبسولیوٹلی یوٹرلی فیلڈ. بٹ دین یونائیٹڈ نیشنز واز اسٹیبلشڈ. دس از اے کلیئر پروف دیٹ دیر از اے نیڈ. نتھنگ ہیپنز ود آؤٹ اے نیڈ. دی ایکسیوم از ڈیمانڈ اینڈ سپلائی. If something is being supplied, there is some demand, there is some need to which this supply is catering. So there is the need. But the United Nations has also failed, absolutely failed. It couldn't gain the confidence and trust of the smaller nations and smaller countries. So I wanted to point out that because this world has become small, there is a need for whole of humanity to come closer. But how to come closer? The distances between the hearts are the same. These can only be reduced if the concept of these two common factors is emphasized. That although we might have different colors, maybe we have different cultures, maybe we have different backgrounds, but we all belong to one nation, the progeny of Adam and Eve, and we are all created by one creator, that is Allah, that's God. But for that you must believe in God first. And there is no belief in God. Materialism, this universe has as if come into being by itself, no creator. It's going on and going on by itself, automatically. No controller. يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. We believe in Allah who is controlling this universe. And he is making the tadbeer from above towards the earth, from the heavens to the earth. يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. But whosoever doesn't believe, where from can he get something common between this different races and different nations and different people having different colors? There are some people, some absolutely other type of people, and we are other type of people. Then you have to believe that Adam and Eve still are our great, great, grand, grandmother and father. So the belief in these two things can bring human beings closer. Although they might have different colors, they might be speaking different languages, they might be living in different parts of the world. I want to invite your attention that I delivered a speech in 1968, it's about 26 years, that is now published in Urdu also, Quran or Amne Alam, and English also, Quran the World Peace. And I, you know, discussed this question of world peace at three levels. First of all, there can be no peace in the world unless people have inner peace within them. The inner tranquility. If you are not at peace with your own self, How can you be at peace with others? And Iman is the basis of Amn, inner peace, tranquility, satisfaction. Nafs mutmainna, no conflicts, no frustrations. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. If people have peace within them, they will emit peace. And every human being in a Muslim society, now the second word is Islam. Again peace. Salamati. The social peace. As we are discussing in this Surah Al-Mubarakah, don't laugh at each other. Don't look down upon each other. Don't deride each other. Don't be backbiting each other. All these things. Be brothers. Behave like brothers. There's a very beautiful definition. Who is a Muslim? The Prophet said, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimina. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A Muslim is a person from whose hand and tongue the Muslims are safe. He is doing no harm to any Muslim, neither by his tongue nor by his hand. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna. A Muslim is a person from whose tongue and hands all Muslims are safe. He is not doing any harm to any Muslim, neither through his tongue nor his hand. So this is the social peace. Then the international peace, the global peace, the only permanent, and that is going to be the final stage, and that is that the just world order of Islam should dominate the whole globe. All people should belong to this community of Muslims. They should all become, and they should all qualify this definition of a Muslim. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. This society, this whole world. But till such time, and this is going to happen. When I visited last year, I got recorded my lectures regarding the caliphate, the global caliphate, the prophecy of the Prophet, that before the end of this world, the system of Khilafah ala Minhaj al-Nubuwwah will prevail over the whole of the globe. This is going to happen. How it can be achieved? All these things I discussed last time. And there's the recording, TV, there's this video as well as audio of 20 hours. And there I have discussed these things. But till such time that global, just world order of Islam, this is the new world order today, which has not been able to establish itself up till now. There are still some hard nuts to crack in the form of China or North Korea. Then you know some smaller nations are also still challenging, not accepting the supremacy and hegemony of this new world order. Iran is one of them, Sudan is one of them, Libya is one of them. And Pakistan also was one of them. I can't say whether it is one of them or not at the present time. Anyhow, that new world order is trying its best, trying hard to establish itself for the whole of the globe. And this is actually the Jew world order. They are in the clutches of Zionism. But this Jew world order, JWO, has to change into JWO, just world order of Islam. Initials will remain the same, just world order. Ad-Dinul Haq. And this Ad-Dinul Haq will dominate the whole of the globe. But before that, there can be enmity. The hatred can be decreased to a great extent if you propagate and emphasize this ayah, Ya ayyuha an-nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa unsa, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, inna Allah 'alimul khabir. For the interim period, this ayah is the only refuge. But finally, actually, the just world order of Islam will be established, inshallah. At least I have no doubt. Only one thing I can't say surely, when it will come to happen. In adri ya qareebun am ba'idun ma tu'adun. I don't know whether what is being promised to you has come near or it is at a distance. It is still far off, I can't say. But it is going to happen, there's no doubt about it. Now this was about ayah number 13. Now we go to ayah 14 to 17, leaving the only last ayah. The subject matter of these four ayahs is one. So I propose today to first of all translate these four ayahs, so you have an understanding, the concept of the subject which is being discussed here. Then I shall discuss some of the aspects in detail. قالت العرب آمنا. These Bedouins are claiming. I have added the word these. Al-A'rab. When there is Alif Lam added, it makes a proper noun. Some proper, some definite A'rab are mentioned here. Not all the A'rab. A'rab is the plural of Arabiyun. Arabiyun, the person who used to dwell in the desert. Not any town, no village, no cities. They were always roaming from this place to other place. Wherever there is some rain and some grass grows, they go there. They fix their tents there, they live there. Then they move to another place. They were called the Arabiyun, and the plural is Arab. But here, Alif Lam has been added, some people among the Arab. قالت العرب آمنا. These are Bedouins are claiming we have come to believe. We have attained the faith. قل, tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لم تؤمن. You have not at all come to believe. You have not at all become mu'mins. Don't be misguided. Don't be mistaken. Why I have added this not at all? Because in Arabic language you have two modes of negation in the past tense. Either you add ma to the past verb. Ma amantum. You have not come to believe. But if the phrase muzare is used and before that lam is added, it's more emphatic denial. Not at all. You have not at all come to believe. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. But, وَلَكِنْ is the same which we use in Urdu. لَكِنْ. وَلَكِنْ. But, قُولُوا, say or you may say, you can say, أَسْلَمْنَا. We have become Muslims. Or to translate literally, we have submitted. We have surrendered. We have given up resistance. Literal meaning would be we have submitted, surrendered, or given up resistance. And technically, we have become Muslims. You can say, وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. And up till this time, the real faith has not at all entered your hearts. Again, يَدْخُلْ فَيْلَ مُضَارِحَ. لَمَّا is the same as لَمْ. Not at all. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Up till this time, real iman, real faith, real belief has not as yet entered your hearts. Now this is a condition. Some people claim that we have come to believe. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell them, you are mistaken. You have not at all come to believe. What you can say, what you may say is that you have become Muslims, you have surrendered. Now first of all, we should try to understand who were they. As I told you, after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the Bedouins saw the change of the direction of the wind, now the sun is rising, the sun of Islam is rising. The son of the Quraysh is setting. So seeing this change in the conditions, so many of them became Muslims, entered the fold of Islam, and declared, we have become Muslims, we have become Romans. To them it is being said that you have surrendered, no doubt. You have become Muslims, no doubt. But if you think you have attained to faith, you have real iman, you are mistaken. But in this condition even, وَإِن تُطِعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, if you obey Allah and His Messenger, لَا يَلِدْكُمْ مِنْ عَمَالِكُمْ شَيْعًا, Allah will not deprive you of the reward of any of your deeds. Allah will accept. Although in principle it appears to be wrong, but they had no faith, no deed of theirs, no act of theirs should have been acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a question mark. There is a problem. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to two of His attributes. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. This is out of His mercy, out of His forgiveness. Because He is forgiving and He is merciful, He is doing this leniency towards you, that even though you have not attained to the real faith has not entered your heart up till now, but if you obey, when you say we surrender, aslamna, it means you have now to obey Allah and obey Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the minimum requirement. If you fulfill it, because Allah is forgiving, Allah is merciful, Allah is lenient, Allah is Rauf, Allah is Rahim, Allah will not deprive you of the rewards of any of your good deeds. But there is a note of caution here. This obedience has to be took, not partial. Partial obedience is no obedience at all. It is the mockery of obedience. It has to be total. And please here refer to ayah number 85 of Surah Al-Baqarah. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you accept a part of our book, a part of the law, a portion of the Sharia, وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ, and reject the other? فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. So there can be no punishment for those who take to this attitude, except that they should be put to extreme humiliation in the life of this world. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ, and on the day of judgment, they will be returned, they will be thrown in the worst of the punishments. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ, and Allah is not unaware of what you are doing. Now there are two questions about this ayah. Number one, if they were apparently Muslim but not really mu'min, were they munafiqs? If they were munafiq, no deed, no good deed of a munafiq is acceptable. Here Allah says, no, if you continue obeying, I shall accept your deeds, I shall accept your prayers, your psalm, your zakah, whatever you are doing according to the Sharia, I will accept, although you don't have the real iman. So it's a very peculiar position presented in this ayah, that there can be a condition when a Muslim is a Muslim, a legal Muslim, outwardly Muslim, but in his heart there is neither iman nor nifaq. To some people it is unimaginable. Some people say, and there are so many mufassirin who say, that they were munafiqs. But Allah says, this real iman has not as yet even entered your hearts. What does it mean? A Muslim without iman is a munafiq. the question is, how can the good deeds of a munafiq be acceptable to Allah? Here Allah is saying in clear words, وَإِن تُطِعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَا يَلِدْكُمْ مِنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا. This difficult problem has been solved by Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He wrote a book, Kitab al-Iman. It's quite a voluminous book. And all the discussions about Iman which were there in his time, he has fully done justice to all the issues. And it is a very important event of my life. Just by out of an incident, I came, you know, to know that this is his opinion. I had that idea already. Myself and a very learned person, Maulana Abdul Ghaffar Hassan, maybe many people know him. He was one of the topmost leaders of Jamaat-e-Islami at one time in Pakistan. We were in the mosque in Aitikaf in the last days of Ramadan. There we disagreed and we were discussing about this ayah. My point of view was that they were not munafiq because Allah says, I will accept your obedience, your acts and deeds. I will not deprive you of the good rewards of your good deeds. They cannot be munafiqs. You were insisting that then Allah says that the real faith has not entered your hearts. They were Muslims. A Muslim without real faith is a munafiq. Suddenly a person came, one of the ulama of their city. He sent us a book. That is that book, Kitab al-Iman, by Imam Taymiyyah, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Because I came to know that you both are in the mosque doing itikaf, I'm presenting this book, maybe you study it. And when I opened it, just the same subject was discussed. And Ibn Taymiyyah clearly says that there is a condition of a Muslim. He is a Muslim, but neither a mu'min nor a munafiq. And I actually explain it through the principles of mathematics. The Muslim is outwardly a Muslim, legal Muslim. Within his heart there will be three conditions. You have in the graphs, the 0 point on the right side, +1, +2, +3, +4, +5, go on. Left side, -1, -2, -3, -4, -5. And in between the two, there is the zero level. The zero level in the heart, no iman, no nifaq, but there is Islam. And you can appreciate that most of the people who entered the pale of Islam after the victory came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they fell in this category. They were neither mu'mins, nor they were munafiqs. Munafiqs were only those people who were deceiving. There were certain people who only accepted Islam with a view to wait now for some time, and then we shall see if there is any chance. Then we shall disrupt this Islamic order from within. Just as Abdullah ibn Sabah, the Jew from Yemen, he entered Islam, but with a view to commit sabotage from within. So those were the munafiqs. But there were people, and mostly they fell in this category. They didn't have any idea of enmity and waiting for some chance to commit sabotage or disruption from within the society, Muslim society. But they didn't have the positive iman either. Just because now all people are going and all people are accepting Islam, now because Islam is the rising power, go ahead, it's no use continuing resistance. Now the matter is clinched. When Quraysh have recognized Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what can we do? How can we stop him? The supreme power in the Arabian Peninsula, it had to have a treaty with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions. So go ahead. accept Islam. So this accept Islam, this acceptance of Islam was neither positively with real iman nor negatively with an intention of internal sabotage later on. But in their hearts there was neither iman nor nifaq, but they were Muslims. Now please come to a very important point. If we look to the Muslims of today, 99.9% of Muslims fall in this category. Some of the more enthusiastic activists of Islam, they tend to call the Muslims of today as munafiq. Why? They are not practicing Islam. They say we accept Allah as our Lord, not accepting His commandments. They say, Muhammad, we have accepted. He is the messenger of Allah. رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّنْ وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. Not following Him. They say we believe in Quran, but not accepting the injunctions of the book. So they are not, no, they are not monastic. Nor they have the real iman. If they had the real iman, how come they are not practicing? If there is real iman in the heart, the total behavior must change. Iman is not such a useless thing. Real iman, real faith, real conviction. It will bring about a revolution in your attitude, in your behavior. So neither we have iman. And I give you a very simple proof that we are not Mormons. Allah says in Surah Al Imran, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Don't have any grief. Don't be disheartened. I promise you, you will be the supreme. You will be the highest in the world if you are real Mormons. And what we are actually today, the lowest. So by and large, collectively the Ummah doesn't have iman. There are individuals, but they may not exceed the amount of salt in the flour that you need for baking your bread. Not more than that. Basically, the whole of the Ummah is without iman, but not nifaq either. Don't be mistaken. They don't have any bad intention against Islam. They don't have any negative intentions to destroy Islam, enmity of Islam, enmity of Allah, enmity of Muhammad. No, no. Majority of the Muslims. They don't have nifaq either. They don't have iman. But they are Muslims. And this ayah, in this respect, is the most important ayah of the Quran. This is the only ayah which is giving you this third category. A Muslim, a mere Muslim. Only a Muslim. Neither a mu'min nor a munafiq. Legally, outwardly, he is a Muslim because he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He is a Muslim. He may be fasiq, he may be fajir, but he is a Muslim. Now a Muslim can have three conditions regarding his inner personality, his heart. Either he is mu'min positively, or he is a munafiq negatively, or the heart is absolutely empty, it's zero level, neither positive iman nor negative nifaq. And this is the condition. That was the condition of many Bedouins who entered the tail of Islam after Islam became dominant in the Arabian Peninsula. And this is the condition of 99.9 recurrent percent Muslims today. We don't have iman, but we are neither munafiq also. We are Muslims, legal Muslims. And for us, this part of the ayah, وَإِن تُطِعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَا يَلِتْكُم مِّنْ عَمَالِكُمْ شَيْعًا. It's a very big ray of hope. If you look down into your heart and you find there's vacuum, iman is not there. Don't get disappointed. Don't be despaired. There's a ray of hope. Allah says even in this condition, If you continue obeying me and my messenger, I will accept your gifts. Don't be disheartened. وَإِن تُطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَا يَلِتْكُمْ مِنْ عَمَالِكُمْ شَيْعًا. But with one word of caution, this obedience has to be total. No partial obedience. Accepting one commandment, rejecting the other. Keeping one commandment, taking it above your heads. The other commandment, trampling under your feet. That this is mockery. This is laughing at the Sharia. This is the biggest disrespect to Allah and His Messenger and His Deen. But if you continue obeying, لَا يَلِدْكُمْ مِنْ عَمَالِكُمْ شَيَّا إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. Verily Allah is forgiving, Allah is merciful. It would have been 100% correct if He had decided that no good deed of yours can be accepted unless you have positive iman in your heart. That's because He is merciful, He is forgiving, He is lenient, He is rauf. He is encouraging you, He is giving you the hope that your good deeds, your obedience will be accepted. Even if there might not be iman in your hearts. Now in this background arises a question, then who is a mu'min? See the logic. The sequence, the rational sequence. It has been declared in unequivocal terms about some people, you can't claim to be mu'min. All that you can claim is that you can say you are Muslims. Then the logical question arises, who is a mu'min? Well, I want to be accepted as a mu'min. I want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept me as a mu'min. I must be told, what are the criteria? What are the prerequisites? What conditions I have to fulfill to qualify as a mu'min? So this ayah, if you keep this context, this siyaq and sabaq, you can very well appreciate that this is the most important place in the Quran for a definition, a comprehensive definition of who is the mu'min. And that is why we find, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Verily, the true mu'mins are only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger and then have no doubts about them. This is the only place in the Quran where you have these additional words of لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. No rap. This is from the root rab. Everybody knows this word. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This Quran is a book wherein there is nothing doubtful, no rab, no shak. And this is the word يَرْتَابُوا. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And إِنَّمَا, please note, it's called أُسْلُوبُ الْحَصْرِ. Style for limiting and restricting in Arabic language. What's the difference when you say Zaid is an alim? And when you say only Zaid is alim? The second sentence has a different connotation. Here ilm is mulhasil, restricted to the personality of Zaid. When, according to the first sentence, Zaid can be an alim, any other person can also be an alim. Zaid is an alim. And only Zaid is the alim. It's the difference. Innama gives this sense of restricting. Innama al-mu'minun. True mu'min are only those people. Alladheena amanu billahi wa rasoolihi. Who came to believe in Allah and His Messenger. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. But this belief in Allah and His Messenger reached the level of personal conviction. Conviction in the heart. That is why it was said about the former people, The real faith has not as yet entered your heart. If it enters the heart of a person, it becomes a conviction. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. First precondition, prerequisite of qualifying as a moment, that this iman should reach the level of conviction, which we call yaqeen. And Iqbal says very beautifully, yaqeen paida kar hai nadaan, yaqeen se haath aati hai, wo darveshi ke jiske saamne jhukti hai pagphoori. You need yaqeen, not only a verbal attestation of iman, yaqeen, conviction. So, the first prerequisite, yaqeen. Iman reaching the level of yaqeen. And the second, وَجَّاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And then they wage jihad for the cause of Allah. And spent all their worldly belongings, as well as their bodily capabilities and resources. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Again that uslub al-hasr. Only such persons are true if they claim to be mu'min. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. This we call in Arabic jame or mane ta'if. This is the logic. If you want to define a thing, the definition should be jame. All the essential elements of that thing should be included in that definition. It should be mani'. Nothing additional should be included in it. So definition, it should be jami' and mani'. All the necessary elements must be included. No additional concept should be allowed to enter. So this ayah, ayah number 15, gives us. And that way, I told you, this place of the Qur'an, these two ayat, are one of the most profound ayat of the Qur'an, most important ayat of the Qur'an. Only at this place in Qur'an, Islam and Iman have been differentiated. Absolutely differentiated. Islam accepted, Iman, no, you don't have any Iman. And then a definition of mu'min, who is a mu'min? And two prerequisites. Yaqeen within and jihad in action. Without these two elements, there can be no iman, there can be no mu'min. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.